In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, Notre Dame's been complaining now for three straight days, but Pearl, we actually do have college football, a champion that needs to be crowned. Welcome to the show, yeah. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And we still have plenty of time to talk about this, but I have not gotten your thoughts yet on who you think the team to beat is in this 12-team college football playoff bracket.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go obvious, Ohio State.
Well, they just lost to Indiana, though, in the Big Ten title game. By 3 points, I get it.
And it's an exhibition game. Both teams knew they were in. Also, obviously, Ohio State, I'm not sure what their motivation was for that game. And they lost to Michigan last year and ended up beating everybody in the playoff field. It's so hard. If Indiana, and it's very possible, if Indiana meets Ohio State in the final, to beat Ohio State twice is very hard. Honestly, this is totally weird, but I think you get an advantage by losing that Big Ten title game. So, also, they're the best team. They have the most future pros. Ryan Day, I don't know. I don't totally understand his offensive philosophy anymore, but he could obviously dial it up in the playoffs. So, I'm pretty comfortable picking Ohio State, who's the Vegas favorite. But I got to tell you, I do think they'll play Indiana again. If I had to look at this field, that seems like the most likely matchup to me.
Wow. Okay, so that would be the championship game because they're on different sides of the bracket. Here's where I think Ohio State, you said it's advantageous to lose the Big Ten title game. Completely disagree because they ended up on the same side of the bracket as Georgia. And I think Georgia is the other team that would be a team to beat in this bracket of 12 that nobody seems happy with and everyone seems kind of ticked off unless you're an Alabama fan or you're EJ and rooting for his Miami Hurricanes. But I actually think that because of how this thing laid out, Texas Tech and Indiana are the two top seeds in one part of the bracket. And I think this sets up so well for Indiana. Because the SEC teams that you are facing in this side of the bracket are Alabama and Oklahoma, who are playing each other in the first round. And by the way, both teams, these are not the juggernauts of the SEC, right? Like Alabama's not played well over the last month, and Oklahoma has an amazing defense, but their offense is certainly gettable. So, you know, this to me is setting up like Texas Tech, and we'll see what happens with that defensive line versus the likely Heisman Trophy winner and Fernando Mendoza with Kurt Cignetti, who seems like he could coach the pants off of anybody right now. So I think that Indiana actually is the team to beat, considering how this bracket laid out.
Well, by the way, you're that confident that Texas Tech will beat Oregon?
I am that confident. I've told you, and I don't mean this as any disrespect to our Ducks fans. I have a Duck costume hanging in my office. I'm all about the Ducks. But I do not understand how they are fifth in this bracket. I just don't see how they've earned that high ranking.
Right, but it's still a Big Ten team against a Big 12 team.
That's fine. I think Texas Tech is not your average, whatever you want to say, Big 12 team. I don't think this is just like a on paper, you know, thing.
I love Texas Tech. In fact, I'd consider them a national title contender, but I'll bet you Oregon's favored in that game.
Possible, but I would still take Texas Tech in that game. If it were me again, Oregon beat? I know Texas Tech. Like who have they beaten? But I was not so impressed with Oregon this year.
Yeah, well, listen, betting is bet on perception. I just think that people are saying, oh, it's a Big Ten team versus a Big 12 team. And I also think, say Alabama or Oklahoma, specifically Alabama, advances against Indiana, I would watch that spread because Alabama's defense is no joke either. And Indiana, I know they beat Ohio State, but I don't think people take that Big Ten game that seriously. I think that that is going to be an interesting game to watch, too. I don't think that's any kind of given. I don't think any of these games are given. You're right. Georgia, I advanced Ohio State past Georgia. And first of all, Ohio State has to beat Miami or Texas A&M winner. That's going to be a hard game, too.
No, I
think that all 12 teams are, I'm sorry, the 10 teams that are not the two group of five teams are very, very close. And honestly, I think the 13, 14, 15 team could beat any of these teams. And we've seen it.
The ones who got left out.
The ones who got left out. I think Notre Dame would have been a dangerous, dangerous team in this bracket. I think Texas just beat A&M. They could beat anybody in this bracket. I think this would be it's going to be wild. If you have teams that are 13 and 14 who could beat the top two teams, then basically you're saying this is a wide open field.
Okay, so Pearl thinks that Ohio State's the team to beat. I actually think in that part of the bracket, it's Georgia. But I think the way that this is laid out for Indiana to be in the top half of the bracket as the number one overall seed means that Indiana has the best path and they would be the team to beat. Now, here's a slightly different tweak on the question. Who do you want to win this thing? Like, if you just, like, what's the best possible outcome? Because Ohio State going back-to-back, unless you're a massive Buckeye fan, that kind of seems actually quite a little bit boring.
Totally.
Like, who do you think, what's the team that you want to win this whole thing?
Okay, I mean, it'd be cool if James Madison and Tulane won, but let's take that out of the equation because that's not going to happen in college football. If Ole Miss won, it would be like the universe is correcting itself. Because Lane Kiffin leaving for LSU, first of all, it destroyed the SCORE Act, the congressional bill to fix college sports. People were so mad about Lane Kiffin's exit that they blew up the entire deal. Basically, Lane Kiffin leaving was such a big deal. I know we haven't talked about it in a couple of days, which is weird. It was such a big deal. If the team won a title and Lane Kiffin did not get to lift the trophy, that would be the most incredible thing to witness. It would be epic. It would be huge. It'd be like, you chose the money and you miss out on this title. He would say, I'm happy for the kids, but he would be so sad. It would be just awesome. And also, too, I'm kind of rooting for those kids because they lost their coach. And I'm really actually very happy Lane Kiffin did the right thing, let his assistants go back and help game plan. It'd be really cool for the kids if they won this.
It'd be great for the players. I'll give you that. But I don't know. I think that even though Lane Kiffin, if Ole Miss did win this whole thing, even if Lane Kiffin is not on the podium raising the trophy, I think he will take all the credit for it. I think,
yeah, good luck with that.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that he would somehow, you know, Lane is a master as far as social media goes, and like he's a very savvy guy. I think he would find a way.
Tony Dungy didn't get the credit for John Gruden winning with the Bucks,
and he should have.
It's a lot different than being up on that podium.
Yeah, I know. But I do think people mention Dungy. Like, you do mention
They'll mention
Dungy.
Lane. I mean, they'll mention Lane way more than Dungy. He coaches his team. He'll get a ring if they do rings. I mean, he was there. But the fact that everyone's mad, saying, how can you leave right now? You're in the playoff. And he's like, well, I think I have a better chance to win a title at LSU. If this Ole Miss team in Trinidad and Chambliss got hot and they won, it would just be, it'd be the ultimate rebuke of a greedy move.
I think that to me, the team that I want to win has got to be Indiana. Like, the fact that this story has gotten to the place it's even gotten to, Pearl, which is Indiana making all types of history. This is Indiana. They're a basketball school. Meanwhile, the basketball program is in, you know, flux, put it that way, not nearly living up to the old days. And now the football team would come in, you know, reaching unprecedented heights. And then if they actually like solidify this thing as a national champion over the likes of a Georgia beating Ohio State again, whoever they would meet in the championship game, they'll have to beat an Alabama or an Oklahoma. I mean, these are the bluest of the blue bloods in football that Indiana would have to beat. And then the new bloods in Texas Tech, if it goes that way. So I would just think this is unreal if Indiana were to pull it off. That's the team I want to win.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I totally hear you, but it's funny. Maybe because they were in the playoff last year, it doesn't feel as Cinderella-y as it should. And maybe I'm caught up in the moment. You're right. If they actually did it, it's one of the most incredible turnarounds in college football or all of sports histories. But for some reason, I've already adjusted to Indiana being good, in my head at least. Because they were there last year.
Well, but last year was, well, who have they played? And they only played Ohio State. And when they went to Ohio State, they did not, you know, that the score looked a lot better than the actual game flow in that game. And, you know, and Ohio State controlled the game. Like, they just didn't have a signature win. And I think people were like, oh, they're just happy. It's just cool for them to be here. Then they follow it up with the Heisman Trophy winner, most likely, and Fernando Mendoza, maybe the number one overall pick in the draft next year, and a college national championship. I mean, That's serious magic. That's a different level than just making it last year because they got an easy schedule.
No, you're right. I don't know why. I'd be a little bored to see Indiana in the title game.
What?
Like an Indiana-Georgia title game. It doesn't have as much sizzle as some matchups. Is that? I mean, there's going to be. Let's face it. Obviously, they would want Alabama, Ohio State, or they would want, you know, brands. I'm curious as far as ratings.
Georgia's a brand.
Georgia's a brand. I mean, I would say number one brand is Alabama. Number two is Notre Dame. I think Texas is probably the third. Ohio State does huge rankings as well. But I don't think if it was an Indiana, what would be the worst matchup? Indiana A&M title game would probably not be ideal. Not that they care about ratings.
No, I was going to say like the Tulane James Madison, although that might be that might be the most incredible if we had two Cinderellas in this bracket. It's never going to happen.
I'm curious, and people could call too, is have people caught Hoosier fever for football?
I think a lot of people have.
Really?
Yeah, I do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think that, you know, whatever it is about Mendoza, he's got something.
He's getting compared to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I know. And there's something about Kirk Cousins that people can't quit. The Kirko chains. He's been the part of two Netflix documentaries. Like, there's something about Kirk Cousins that clearly people find somewhat interesting. Because Kirk Cousins, I'll tell you why I find Kirk Cousins interesting after watching him on the Netflix show. He's actually got these weird parts of his personality that he's so deeply trying to repress, but it's so obvious. Like, he only has his little area, his little closet where he keeps all his championship stuff, and he just goes in there every once in a while and looks around at his old high school memorabilia and, like, revels in his greatness. Guys, like, that's odd to me.
If you're in the NFL and you're like, what quarterback's going to get us the highest rating? Kirk Cousins is not jumping to mind.
No,
that's my point. Like, sizzle. Like, Fernando Mendoza is a great player. He's going to go number one overall. But I don't know. Remember when Cam Newton was in the national title game? Or remember when even Jameis was in the national title game? Yep. That is not the vibe I'm getting here. I feel like they're a great story. But are they as exciting to everyone? Honestly, there's some incredibly fast, exciting players in this thing too. There's a lot of talent. I think people will get to know them. I don't know that everybody knows these 12. I'm talking about casual fans.
Yeah.
I've talked about Casey Concepcion in Texas A&M.
Yep.
EJ, do not punt to that man. He is a beast. Miami's got loaded of talent. John Mateer is still in Oklahoma. If they made a run, it'd be great. Alabama is Alabama. Oregon is a popular program, too. Dante Moore could step up. There's a lot that could happen here. Do you agree with me, at least, that it is quite an unpredictable field? Or do you really feel solid it's going to be the 1, 2, 3, 4 teams?
No, I think it's unpredictable. Because I'm also very curious to see if the trend, is it going to be a trend of last year, all the teams that got byes basically got blown out. And except for Texas and Arizona State, that was the only good game we had in that second round, really. And I'm really curious about, actually, the first round was a lot of blowouts, too, because it was on the college campuses, weather games, stuff like that. And then the second round was kind of cheeks, too, until that Arizona State game.
But that was the structure. That was part of the structure of the way they picked the first four teams. They had to be conference winners. So you got the weaker conferences facing the bigger conferences.
True. So maybe they've changed it, but I don't know. Maybe there's just something about that break. Pearl, you've asked if anyone's catching Hoosier fever.
Yeah.
Well, feast your ears on this.
Hey, Ohio State, we got a question for you. Who's your daddy?
Daddy!
We all know the man you fear.
Cignetti.
Heisman Doza.
Doza, QB of the year.
Cool. That's a bunch of college kids who put that together. A barbershop quartet.
Don't they call them something different in college? They're called the Huff and Poofs? Or what are those called?
The Whiff and Poofs. I think that's Yale.
Yeah, what is that called?
Acapella groups.
It's not a glee club.
Acapella groups.
Oh, acapella groups. Yeah. Right. They're not barbershop quartet.
Yeah, I was thinking, all right, between the Hoosier Daddy and then the Padres guys, who do you have for the cringier fan video?
Slow down.
Oh, my God. The Padres, dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, by
the middle-aged Padre guys.
It doesn't get worse than the Padre guys.
Bryce gonna lose, and Manny's gonna cruise.
I don't know. I think that those are like some, those are middle-aged guys who are, you know, getting together for like a, you know, for some male bonding. These other dudes who did the barbershop quartet a cappella group thing, they're in college. You're like in the prime of your, like,
no, that's when
you're choosing to spend your time doing this when you've got a million other things. You could be partying.
No, that's when you do the goofy stuff. You do that when you're in college. You do things that you look back on and you say, oh, man, why the hell did I ever do that? Not when you're middle-aged, and that's when you're supposed to be chilling. You have to be putting yourself out there and doing Padres raps. That's no, what's in.
No, here's the thing. You get to middle age like that, you have zero Fs left to give. At that point, you're just being you. You know, in college, you still have to try to be cool, except for these guys who did that Hoosier song. Can we play it one more time, please, Nico? This is a bunch of Indiana students.
Hey, Ohio State, we got a question for you. Who's your daddy?
Daddy!
We all know the man you fear.
Cignetti!
Heisman Doza!
Doza! QB of the year!
I'm out on Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana, they should have been, they should have slid in the college football playoff at least 2-3 spots because of this ridiculous,
I love it,
song.
I'll guarantee you it'll be stuck in your head the rest of the day.
What I don't like about it, too, is that this doesn't feel Indiana to me. No offense to Perloff and my fiance who are Ivy League. This feels Ivy League nerdy.
Yeah, yeah.
This doesn't feel
Indiana's a pretty nerdy school. That's a brainiac school too.
Yeah, but I think true. But Indiana is still Midwest. It's still cornfields. Like, yeah. I don't associate this kind of, no pun intended, cornball behavior with Indiana University.
No,
Indiana is lately like kind of hard to get into. They have a lot of big-time alums. Yeah, I don't know. Indiana's a bit of a nerd school now. Not quite Vanderbilt nerd school, but it's definitely, it's leaning that way, no, towards like Duke or something.
But I kind of agree with EJ here. I think this feels a little more like Yale, you know, or, I don't know, Dartmouth, where you went.
Yeah, I hear you, but I think Indiana is, yeah, I don't know. I've ever seen the movie Breaking Away about Indiana. I don't think it's that different than that. And this is sort of a Big Ten vibe. By the way, you know who would eat that? The Texas Tech fans would never do that. You're saying they would never do that.
The barbershop quartet, whatever.
The A&M fans definitely would. They've done so many cringe videos and stuff like this.
Different type of vibe, though, that 12th man. That's not the same.
No, it's not even the 12th man. It's those folks that wear like those uniforms. They do a lot of
the
weird
night before.
Yeah,
guys?
Yeah. Those pep rally people.
But that's not this vibe.
No, I'm just saying they also do very embarrassing things.
They
different
do.
Vibe, but same energy.
Yeah. I didn't think to compare them to those guys from A&M. To me, this felt like the Padres middle-aged dudes versus Indiana.
You That's know? What's in.
Ah. That, still, they're a number one seed of cringy fan behavior.
That's an all-timer. And to do that right as you just had this great playoff win and you're entering this, you knew the Philly, I'm surprised you guys, did you sweep them? You should have swept them. After that video, that was embarrassing.
Is that the Bryce Harper Homer series?
Yeah.
But you know what, Nico, you're the youngest person here by a significant amount. Well, you and EJ aren't that far apart, but significantly younger. You like it?
I think it's catchy and fun. I don't know why we can't just, you know, let them have their moment. They've been waiting so long for this. I mean, not these guys specifically, but yeah. Indiana fans have been waiting since 1967 for something like this. Let them do whatever they want. I got no problem with it.
Man, I love Nico. He does not have like a shred of cynicism in his body. It's like you just haven't seen enough yet. And you have seen some things, but you have, it's like it hasn't beaten you down. I love it. God, I wish I was young again like that.
My brother gets mad at me constantly because he's actually 2 years younger than me, and he's Islanders, Giants, Cleveland Guardians, and it's like nothing but pain. And he's like, how are you still positive? It's just like...
You got your Wolverines.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, one more time. Let's hear the Indiana one. Who's right on this? Is Nico right? It's just everyone lighting up. They're having some fun. Or is it EJ Perloff and myself dunking on these dudes?
Hey, Ohio State, we got a question for you. Who's your daddy?
Daddy!
We all know the man you fear.
Cignetti!
Heisman Doza!
Doza! The QB of the year!
And you're welcome, America, for that being in your head for the rest of the day. All right. 888-710-4ISN. Has Fernando Mendoza in Indiana caught on? That's what Perloff is asking today. And also, the great debate, the most embarrassing play in the history of sports. It's inspired by Jalen Hurts' performance on Monday night. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Heisman Trophy will be handed out Saturday night. It'll probably go to Fernando Mendoza, the Indiana quarterback. I got to be honest, this is going to sound like a knock, and I guess it is. If I'm the Heisman organizers or if I'm looking at the college football playoff as an ESPN executive, I'm wondering, is there sizzle around Fernando Mendoza? Like, I don't know what sizzle is around a quarterback. I guess you know it when you see it. Joe Burrow and his final year at LSU. I feel like everyone's like, yeah, Mendoza's really good, but there's not that kind of connection to him being super exciting, to me at least.
Well, I don't know, because he's very excitable, you know? And he's got this sort of, like, when he does that interview after they win the Big Ten title game where he seemed like he was about to cry, and instead of looking at the reporter who's asking him questions, he's just staring down the barrel of the camera, like, into your soul, sitting at home watching that title game. Like, He's got something.
But did you know any of that before that moment?
Well, I knew he was kind of like very corporate sounding, but this was a little bit of a different spin. Like, I knew
the Hoosiers are flipping champs.
Champs. I think people liked it.
Yeah. But again, I don't know if that's enough. I mean, Ty Simpson's a crazy man on the field. Again, I don't think there's that much sizzle around him.
Pavia's got the most riz out of all these finalists.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure he's good enough to be that guy, too. I'm not sure what's going to happen here in this playoff. Like, who will emerge as the stars? Who are we going to remember? Who's the guy? If it's Ohio State, is it the quarterback or is it the receiver? And which receiver? I have no idea who's emerging out of that group.
Let's go to Sid, who's in Texas, wants to talk about Fernando Mendoza. What's up, Sid?
Good morning, Andrew and Maggie. How you doing this morning?
We're great. What's up?
Oh, great. I wanted to go ahead and comment on Fernando Mendoza. I think the reason why he's so good is because he always, mentions God, when he gets an interview. And I heard he's a devout Catholic, and I think that's why he's being blessed so much. He seems like a very nice guy and with a nice family.
You know, Sid, he does do that. You know, to be honest, I don't even notice it anymore because so many guys do that. And, first thing is all thanks to God. And I guess I'm just sort of used to it on the pro level. I used to, a million years ago, I used to do sideline reporting for high school and kids would do it then. It's not that I'm not acknowledging it. I guess I just don't. I feel like I hear it all the time. I don't know if it necessarily distinguishes one guy from the next. But if you were asking me whether God's an Indiana Hoosier fan, I would have said no until recently because this turnaround feels almost like a miracle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a category that Fernando Mendoza's in. I mean, there's a lot of 20-something-year-old, either, well, I guess he's Catholic, evangelical quarterbacks who just, you know, there's definitely been arguments that that kind of faith can help you be a confident player. And I think there could be something to that for sure. You know, Kirk Cousins, obviously, son of a preacher and preaches himself. That can be a thing that can make a guy more mature. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but it's not exactly, it's not exactly thrilling as a football product necessarily. That's why I'm saying, like, Fernando Mendoza seems like a great guy. And
right. That's not.
Yeah. I don't, but then
he's
again,
got no
if,
edge is what
but if
Carl
he
thinks.
Just completely balls out, then I guess, and by the way, what he throws such a beautiful pass that's something, I guess, I don't know. I feel like, you know, who's exciting? EJ's Miami Hurricanes. And you know why they're exciting? Because of the Hurricanes. Like, there's just a lot there. And Texas Tech's kind of exciting because they're on edge and they have these crazy future NFL players running around. I don't know. I can't really wrap my head around Ohio. And Ohio State too. That game was boring. That was a terribly played game in a sense. Like, give me spread offense. What has happened to this sport?
Perloff, his attention can only be there for certain elements have to be there. You need minimum 47 points scored between the two teams, or else you're not even, you can't even look up from your phone.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see spectacular athleticism too. And there is, trust me, Indiana is not like Philip Rivers, who's across town in Indianapolis. I know they have spectacular athletes. I'm just saying, I love to see the flash and the sizzle.
Well, they were early in the season. Remember, they were beating teams like 60-10. Like, remember, they beat Illinois 63-10. It seems like those blowouts.
I was excited for that game, but that game got boring.
Well, people thought Illinois was a good team this year, and then it fell apart. But
they're not doing that against the better teams, it seems like.
I was thinking, what kind of following would Mendoza have if he was the quarterback at the University of Miami?
I mean, I was thinking about that all throughout the season until we finally got into the playoff.
Yeah.
Thank God Carson Beck figured himself out. But I was saying last year I wanted Mendoza as the Miami quarterback because Miami went to Cal and they almost lost because he lit them up for three quarters until Cam Ward pulled a miracle out of his behind. He was good at Cal, just nobody watched.
Yeah. He's from Miami.
Yeah.
Grandparents all from Cuba.
His dad played football at high school, at Columbus High School, with Mario Cristobal.
He does not give a Miami vibe at all.
No, not so much?
No, not really. Like, no. Miami's, like, cool and hip, and he's just not.
He's not South Beach to you, Fernando Mendoza?
I don't see it.
Let's get to Bogish. Who's got the latest headlines? What's up?
Nico would know. We heard Nick Sirianni.
Wow. Mr. South Beach. Him and Pipple.
We heard Nick Sirianni say Monday night that he still isn't changing his coaching staff, even after all those turnovers and just 19 points against the Chargers. But maybe he'll reconsider after he hears this from LeSean McCoy.
Is Kevin Pitullo doing the best job? Absolutely not. He is not. Is he going to be the offensive coordinator there next year? Absolutely not.
He can't be back. I'm leaving the Eagles. If Kevin's
where are you
back,
going, Shady? You're in the Hall of Fame. Your jersey's retired.
Take me off.
You can't.
Take me off is crazy.
Nobody's ever asked.
Take me off.
And I'm gonna say it's either.
I'm gonna say,
Mr. Lurie. Now, anything I need, he gives me. Mr. Lurie, it's either me or Kevin.
So there you go.
Yeah,
that's a Shady Emanuelacho on their podcast Speakeasy, and there's the gauntlet has been laid down.
Yeah, and they will switch to the offensive coordinator because that's what they do all the time.
Yeah,
they absolutely will. They're watching the Cleveland situation and they're watching the Miami situation. I think they want a proven offensive coordinator, obviously a guy with more experience. Kevin Pitullo is too young.
I love, as much as people hate Philadelphia, I love how much former players are so dialed into this freaking team still. The Philadelphia Eagles are like the Degrassi of the NFL. Like, you never really leave. Like, these characters that we thought were long gone somehow still are invested in today's Eagles.
Also, they're just the most opinionated group of former players. Like, we get Troy Aikman with the Cowboys, and, like, Emmitt Smith will give us something every now and then when things get real bad. But, like, I've never seen former players who are just ready to roast the team at all times.
And you don't even have to be like an NFL Hall of Famer to constantly be talking about the Eagles.
Well,
like,
I think it's a supply and demand.
Any
thing.
Former player.
You know how New York's a baseball town and a little bit of the other sports? Like, there's nothing but Eagles in Philadelphia. Like, this Kyle Schwarber thing's nice, but it is Eagles, Eagles, Eagles. So there's a lot of work for these guys. I think that's part of it.
I mean, I love it. This is, if I'm an Eagle fan, it's like, these guys never leave my life.
But how many former, let's just, Yankees and Mets are constantly killing the organization?
Right, and Carl Banks here in New York is only killing the Giants because the Giants have killed him over the last decade on their radio broadcast. Having to watch all this nonsense.
Watch all that. Disgusting.
He's like a prisoner of war.
It's just like, it's a lot of criticism. Like, even the former Raiders, I feel like, don't go after the Raiders like this.
And the Eagles just won. And you got Sheedy going, I'm out.
That's last year, Bogus.
You know, they're like the Eagles fans a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fan bases probably would love for like their players to threaten the organization with like,
take my jersey out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it was a great Pittsburgh Pirate to be like, don't trade school, you know.
You want Sid Bream yelling about Paul Skeens right now?
You know, you know what I think it is? I think that there's, and this should apply to Boston, New York too, but it definitely applies to Philadelphia. I think there's something about the fan base is so hard on you, Pearl, and they're booing, even though you're the Super Bowl champs and all of that, that I think the former players want the current players to have to go through what they went through. Mm. It's like, if I had to walk both ways to school uphill in the snow, you're going to have to walk to school both ways in the snow. Like, I got killed by Howard Eskin. Now you're getting killed by Spike Eskin. You know, like, it's like a rite of passage. And if I had to go through it, you've got to go through it. No one gets spared. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this is, I mean, I was just thinking about, you mentioned Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a city, too, where the former players have a lot of opinions.
Great point.
What's with Pennsylvania? It's like the Pennsylvania teams are only teams where the Steelers and Eagles. Yeah, you're right.
Ben Roethlisberger was like, Tomlin's got to go.
Yeah.
Surprised.
You guys didn't really grow up in a football town where that's all there is, I think. I mean, you know, think of the Feinbaum show. Like, they fire everybody all the time. Like, that, everybody is just all in expecting perfection all the time.
No, because there's another mix there of Philadelphia angst, because there are cities that are just football towns like Buffalo or Green Bay, and I don't think they don't crush the team, especially when the team's winning.
Yeah,
they don't crush
but those
the
are
team.
Midwestern cities, so
I know,
right,
that's what I'm saying.
Why.
It's not just about being a football town only. You also have Philly edge.
Definitely, you're right. But by the way, there are a lot of former players who go after their own team. It's not, that is not just a Philly
thing. But it's the volume of guys. It's not that guys don't do it. It's like, it's everybody. Everybody who's played for the Eagles has an opinion.
All right, Bugs, what else you got?
We are still sorting through the Clippers-Chris Paul divorce. CP3 telling People.com that he's at peace with being sent home. He is spending time with his family and excited about, quote, getting a chance to play a small role in whatever anything looks like next. Meanwhile, head coach Ty Lue denying reports he and Paul were not speaking before the breakup.
How are you going to play? I'm not talking to him. So, it was a stretch where, you know, when he said he wasn't going to play, he was going to be out of the rotation. You know, it was tough for him because he's a competitor. And what the game means to him and what he brings every single day. But after that, it wasn't really much.
And Ty Lue spent a lot of this early part of the season denying a lot of things.
The Clips won the night Paul was sent home, but have lost their two games since, dropping to 6-18. The Knicks might be the best team in NBA Cup history, the only squad to reach the quarterfinals all 3 years. And now they finally advance, a 117-101 win in Toronto last night. Jalen Brunson scoring 35. The Magic, 117-108 winners over the Heat, so they'll meet New York in Vegas on Saturday night. 10th-ranked BYU beat Clemson at the buzzer, 67-64 in the Jimmy V Classic at the Garden. A.J. DeBonta didn't hit that winner, but did have 28 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. UConn took the nightcap, 77-73 over number 18, Florida. The 5th-ranked Huskies now have 4 wins over ranked teams this season. On campus, number 2, Michigan, hammering Villanova, 89-61 in Ann Arbor. The Wolverines have won their last 6 games by at least 25 points. And the stress treadmills were buzzing late last night in Buffalo.
McLeod walks in against his former team, dishes off, Tuck shoots and scores. And the Sabres survive the comeback and ultimately claim a 4-3 overtime victory.
That's Alex Tuck scoring in overtime. The Sabres winning 4-3 in Edmonton after allowing the tying goal in the final seconds of regulation. Hence, Maggie's good mood this morning.
Yeah, no. I was spared that I'm not a Sabre fan. Bills okay. are the one team.
Cut and paste.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Andrew Bogish. All right, coming up, we have a big question about one NFL team and some changes that could be on the horizon.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
It's M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. The play of the day is sponsored by NHTSA. Whether you get pulled over or get into a crash, drinking and driving will change your whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, EJ, what's the play of the day?
Actually, it's Nico who's got the play of the
day. Nico, what's the play of the day?
So we're going to go with the play that Bogish talked about earlier. Robert Wright III at the buzzer for BYU.
With 1.3 to go. It's got to be quick. Boskovich. Handed the ball in to Rob. Shoots from three.
Yes! Yes! It scores it! Rob Wright III just won it for BYU!
There you go. That's your play of the day, sponsored and paid for by NHTSA. Okay, right now you can go vote. The Maggie and Perloff, great debate. Topic today, what is the most embarrassing play in sports history? I'm proud to say my choice of Mark Sanchez's butt fumble is leading the pack. It's become shorthand. Like, it's what we say now about embarrassing plays. Pearl, you said Jalen Hurts turning the ball over twice in one play Monday night was the Jalen Hurts butt fumble equivalent. I'm disappointed.
That's just because we didn't put my second choice on there. If Merkel's boner was on there, and if we called every bad play, that's the Merkel's boner. It just happened in 1908.
I would say our tweet would get reported, but if you watch Twitter nowadays, there's a lot of explicit content on there.
No, the bar's got
to be
way
higher. It was allowed to say that in 1908, but you can't say it now?
Didn't mean the same thing. Perloff's choice Jim Marshall running to the wrong end zone is in second place. The Leon Lett block field goal and that he falls on Thanksgiving game, not the Super Bowl, the Thanksgiving game. That's in third place. Vince Carter jumping over Frederick Weiss is in fourth place. Nico, unfortunately, we don't have a fifth spot on the poll. The band is on the field. Stanford Cal, famously, is a write-in.
Yeah, it's because you guys knew I was going to win, so you didn't want me in there.
Oh, man. So keep them coming. I thought the Jose Canseco home run ball that bounces off his head into the stands in Cleveland was also a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just a little relieved because we recall all these plays. I realize Jalen Hurts, two turnovers in one play, probably won't make a top five list. Maybe top 15, but not top five.
All right. Speaking of embarrassing, that's a harsh criticism, but Rich Paul, the super agent for LeBron James and many other famous basketball players, he's also, are they married? He's engaged to Adele. I don't know if they got married yet.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Oh, yeah, they're engaged. But anyway, famous guy, maybe not a household name for casual fans, but getting there. He's got a podcast now with Max Kellerman doing a podcast, and they started talking about LeBron James's future. So Rich Paul, I'll hear cut 10, please, Nico, with a candid assessment of where the Lakers are right now.
I personally don't think the Lakers are good enough to be contenders right now. Not right now.
When you say contenders, what do you mean?
I don't think they have enough to get to the Western Conference final. I don't think they have enough to get to really contend from that perspective.
So
right
OKC
now.
Is in a class by themselves.
Very much so.
Okay, so kind of goes on from there, right, where Rich Paul, who's the agent of LeBron, doesn't think that the Lakers are contenders, Pearl. And some could be reading that into Rich Paul trying to send a message to the Lakers, hey, you need to do more at the trade deadline to make yourself a better team. Now can I hear cut 15? This is where it feels like talking points. Rich Paul saying that LeBron is going to remain a Laker this season, and no, please, nobody talk about any other team, including the Knicks.
Is LeBron realistically a guy who could not be on the Lakers at the end of this year?
No.
He will be on the Lakers at the end of this year.
Yeah, where's he going to go?
I mean, there are New York comes to mind.
That's wishful thinking, if they can't, you're from New York.
Okay, let's hear the next one. Rich Paul admitting that LeBron, well, actually, he would help the Knicks, wouldn't he?
Does LeBron either, make the
because
Knicks
Brunson's
better?
Too small. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he would, of course. Yeah. But 29 other teams would say the same thing.
They're going to make it seem like it was Max's idea. Like, to me, this is so obvious that these are clutch talking points, clutch sports, obviously. Rich Paul, that's the agency, and LeBron founded it with Rich Paul. And I'm sorry, like, as much as I know Max Kellerman is a great talent, and obviously Rich Paul is a very influential agent, but I'm not going to tune in for a podcast that is LeBron James' passive-aggressive talking points being pawned off as, like, these are Rich Paul's thoughts.
Wait, but how do you know that LeBron's thoughts aren't Rich Paul's thoughts? Maybe LeBron is doing Rich Paul's bidding. Maybe this is all his team-building ideas.
So that LeBron's the puppet and that Rich Paul's the puppet master?
Well, I think he might take advice from Rich Paul.
That's fine. It's just they're going to use this podcast, I think, to try to get like LeBron's agenda out there.
Right. He's like,
so
he's
I'm not
an agent.
So I'm not going to listen to it, though. Like, you're going to turn me off.
But it's kind of like it's well, right. But that's Rich Paul's job, is to be the agent to try and get, you know, I think that what they're saying, right, is that we trade, you know, use some future resources to trade for something. Because, and I kind of agree with him. I'm actually surprised. I just wanted to look up the odds. The Lakers are fourth in title odds. That's got to be popularity, because feel like Oklahoma City, they don't have enough firepower for Oklahoma City right now, not to mention some of the other really good teams in the West. So this is just trying to get more players, right?
See,
which is, that's Rich Paul's job, but you're saying this is not the place to do it?
I don't know. It's just, well, you're just, when you do a podcast, the object is to get an audience, and I'm not going to tune in for what I think is LeBron state-run media. And so for me, like, what I think Rich Paul is trying to do here is he's trying to set up, this is good for both parties. Like, LeBron is obviously looking at the Knicks and thinking this could be a title contender and he might want to join the Knicks. And Rich Paul is saying the Lakers are not a contender, so you got to do something to change it up. And maybe he's trying to work both sides here,
oh,
that LeBron gets to New York and that the Lakers get something from the Knicks that's of value.
Oh.
That's what I think is going on here. I don't know, LeBron, the Knicks. Like, to me, this is all facade. And I don't know if Max Kellerman he's obviously a willing participant here. I don't know if he realizes that he's getting used in this whole thing. Max needs a comeback, so that's fine. He wants to sit there and be part of LeBron TV. But that's what this is, in my opinion.
Wait, but he just said that he's not going to the Knicks. And I believe him, by the way, because I'm like, come on, like, the Knicks? Why would the Knicks want LeBron?
Okay, so here's Rich Paul when asked if he could convince LeBron to waive his no-trade clause to go to the Knicks.
Between you and me, Rich, I know you wouldn't have any special insight into this, but do you think he could talk LeBron or don't know anyone who could talk LeBron into waiving a no-trade clause to go to New York? New York?
I mean, listen. He definitely makes him better. I will give you that.
If he could stay healthy.
I don't really play fantasy basketball.
Right.
But
I do.
He definitely makes him better.
Wait, I'm so sorry. The Knicks don't, Leisure, you're the Knicks don't want LeBron James, do they?
I hope not.
Rich Paul. That's why his agent is out here being like, this is all Max's idea.
But there's no way there are teams maybe that LeBron fits, but the Knicks have something going on. Like, they can't put that old man out on the court. They have a rotation.
I don't think a lot of Knicks fans want LeBron either, but this is about, like Maggie said, I think this is LeBron's story. He's trying to craft his story, and if he could maybe do a farewell tour playing at Madison Square Garden, it seems pretty great for him.
This year?
Yeah, but this year, but he'd be on the team next year if you traded for him. Like, he's on the contract, or I guess he'd be an opt-out or whatever the situation is.
This is not that Rich Paul wants him to get more players to the Lakers?
Maybe it's that, but
they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. I think they're like, listen, we need to strong arm the Lakers into making some moves. So let's talk about like all the issues they have and why they're not contenders. And hey, if you think that, you know, you think that you're fine with just us sitting around, all right, we'll talk about other teams and we'll float out there that maybe LeBron maybe could work his way.
Yeah,
to some
and maybe
team.
OG Anunoby does kind of help the Lakers a little bit or whatever they're going to end up floating out there. See,
God.
To me, this is just LeBron trying to play his options, and I don't think the relationship is that great between LeBron and the Lakers right now, obviously. You know, I think a lot has gone on. I know they drafted Bronny. Everything should be fine there, but I don't think it necessarily is because they clearly have made this about Luka, not him.
I mean, there's a lot was said in this podcast, but, I mean, Rich Paul just starts criticizing J.J. Redick during the middle of this podcast. He doesn't say his name, but he basically says they're using LeBron incorrectly.
Yeah.
He's like, why are they using LeBron in the corner when he should be the screener? Why are they letting DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes make all these decisions? And I'm like, whoa, that's flat out going after the coach.
And by the way, when did Rich Paul become Pat Riley? Do you think he really is that? I mean, he obviously knows about basketball. I'm not trying to criticize the guy for that. But obviously, this is what he's hearing from LeBron. So, you can miss me with it, is just what I'm saying. I get it, and I think Max Kellerman just wants somebody to talk boxing with so badly. He's like, all right, I'll do this with Rich Paul.
I just had enough Rich Paul. I get
60 Minutes profile.
Yeah,
all that
he's doing too much. I mean, look, LeBron wants him to do everything, but it's like you get to a certain point, Perloff also mentions, like, why is LeBron so unlikable? I think it's stuff like this. It's like, come on, I don't need your agent now being a hot take artist get your agenda out there.
This also for this Ringer podcast, right? So this is a TV show because they're going to Netflix. So yep. Max has a lot of TV experience.
Yep.
I think Rich, maybe with his connection to Adele and LeBron, he makes much more sense. I mean, 20 times the audience is going to go to the Ryan Russillo podcast, but that's often one guy talking to camera. This makes more sense as a TV product. I don't even think they care about the podcast numbers.
Maybe not. That's fine.
Yeah.
But again, it's still like, what's the agenda of the show?
But
what are you watching?
He's LeBron James' agent. What did you expect? It was going to be like not in Team LeBron?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's just going to be another vehicle. That in some ways, I hate to say it because LeBron is like, I love him, but this is kind of... It feels a little pathetic, you know?
Who's worse, Rich Paul or Scott Boras?
Oh, Boras is the worst. This is like our question about the Padres fans versus the guys singing about Fernando Mendoza. It's both cringy when Scott Boras does those stupid puns talking about his free agents. The polar vortex is thawed.
I don't know.
Like,
that is a guy who shocks me. Scott Boras said he's still working. The amount of money he must have, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's called ego. You know.
He's got to be
the center of the sport.
But yeah, like, why is he still pushing for all these, like, every dollar is like life or death to the dude. He's got $800 million in the bank. I honestly don't know how he wakes up in the morning and does this job.
Competition.
Like, Competition with what?
I don't know. Other agents.
There's no second agent. There's no. Are there other agents in baseball?
Oh, definitely.
I know one thing. I'd rather be Scott Boras than Rich Paul because I don't have to like kowtow to just one guy. I actually, like you talked about who's the puppet master between Rich Paul and LeBron. I think it's very clearly LeBron. There's no question who's the puppet master for Scott Boras clients. Scott Boras is the one running the sport.
I know. I love it when they always say, well, listen, you know, Pete Alonso, he's the client here of Boras. He's got the power. It's like, no, he doesn't. Boras is telling him what to do and he's taking the advice. And 9 times out of 10, it works out. Unless you're Michael Conforto.
Boras is also a bit of a monopoly, too, because he's got all the top players so he can play everybody against each other. I mean, he owns everybody. It's kind of boring at this point. That's why NFL, by the way, the NFL, those agents are a trip too. Those guys, I mean, agents are agents. What do you expect? You're saying you're not tuning in.
No, not going to be my cup of tea. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Nico Scarlatos. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Wido's Coffee Drinkers. Phenomenal job all morning long. Catch you later.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.